You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN. I'm Ava Berardi. Tacoma's ICE detention facility is the scene of another hunger strike by detainees. Some 140 people have refused to eat since Tuesday because they say conditions are substandard. Washington U.S. Representative Emily Randall and a colleague from Oregon made an impromptu visit to the facility Saturday. The Seattle Times reports they were allowed to see some of the housing units as well as the kitchen, but they were denied access to any areas where detainees received medical care. According to advocacy groups for detainees, hunger strikes are becoming more common at the privately run facility because conditions are deteriorating. They say meals are served hours past mealtime, with protein limited to just 2 ounces per serving. Congresswoman Randall told Kiro TV the detention center's management did not show them the correct documentation about the hunger strike, something she called misleading. The GEO group, which operates the facility, did not immediately respond to requests for comments about operations, nor about the visit by members of Congress. The Grasshopper fire has burned 90,000 acres so far, mostly in rural Wasco County near Mount Hood. The fire has destroyed several homes, and extreme winds have challenged fire crews. OPB reporter Joni Auden-Land visited the area to speak with locals, many of whom are wondering what comes next.
It's kind of dirty. It's kind of still got a lot of ash on it.
Lisa Sethman is finally checking out of her hotel in the Dalles. She's getting ready to return home for the first time in 4 days, after a fire forced her and her husband John to evacuate. All of her precious belongings sit in the back of her car.
There's our wedding album photos right here in honeymoon from Greece. And then this is my parents, and this is their 1 year anniversary, and my mom's pregnant with me.
The Sethmans live right on the edge of the Mount Hood National Forest, where the Grasshopper fire has raged for the past 3 weeks. During the half hour drive home, Lisa can't help but wonder what it'll look like when she gets back.
It's very stressful because you're wondering what you're going to see when you go there the next day. You're wondering if your neighbors are there. You're wondering if your house is there. You're wondering.
The Grasshopper fire is just one of several large wildfires that have burned across Oregon this summer. More acres have burned this wildfire season in Oregon than any other on record. When the Sethmans pull into their driveway, the fields surrounding their home are charred black. Smoke blankets the sky, and it's impossible to escape the noise of helicopters scooping up water from a nearby pond. Inside, the home smells of smoke. A sprinkler sits on top of the roof, keeping everything wet. John Sethman and his father built this house nearly 50 years ago. While they're grateful to still have their home, they acknowledge the quiet they once enjoyed here has changed.
You ask how I feel, it's going to sink in because I'm going to look out the windows and I'm going to see burn. And I'm going to not see my deer for a while and maybe won't see the turkeys for a while. And yeah, it's changed.
Others were not so lucky. The fire destroyed 6 homes and dozens of other structures. On August 10th, extreme winds caused the fire to race towards people's homes, burning 12,000 acres in just 1 hour. Just a few miles from the Sethmans sits a pile of rubble where someone's home once stood. There are only a few hints at what was left behind. The shell of a car, a scorched washing machine.
But look at these oak trees, you know, those poor oak trees, you know, they'll probably die.
Local farmer Stan Ashbrook is driving through the area, checking on an elderly friend's property. The fire destroyed an outbuilding and came close to taking their home, too. Sitting in his truck, Ashbrook says this fire has been devastating for the community in multiple ways.
They're just a great family for the community, and then to have this happen. You know, you don't just wake up in the morning and it's all green again. You know, it's not going to be green for a long time.
At another home, members of the Oregon Air National Guard dig a fire line, trying to protect it from the oncoming blaze. But it's no guarantee. Planning Section Chief Chris Baker says the strong winds make it hard to protect homes. You don't always know where the fire is going to move.
I feel confident in our work. I'm not confident in the weather conditions. The weather conditions can be very unpredictable, and that's the problem. That's that one piece that we can predict, but it's going to do its own thing.
Elsewhere, firefighters are mopping up the fire line. In every direction, there are little flames left over from the big blaze that need to be extinguished. Firefighter Greg Barnum was working when the fire made the surge towards people's homes. At one point, he and his crew were at a home completely surrounded by flames.
It's one of the scariest things to be in.
Does it feel like it's rushing like a car towards you almost?
It's a wall of fire rushing at you. Mm-hmm. Depending on the fuel content, it sounds like a freight train was coming through the trees. It is so noisy.
In the end, they saved the person's home. But adding to the challenge of this fire season is a constant lack of manpower. With so many fires around the country, competition for resources is fierce. Barnum says they often have to make do with less.
It's humbling that, you know, we only have so many people out here to cover how many, you know, hundreds of acres or thousands of acres. Because I think we were at, 84,000 or some number that we had. So it's tough to cover that much ground with the small amount of people.
Fire officials here say they want to make strides as quickly as possible to free up resources. Because as destructive as this fire is, they know another fire could start at any moment, threatening even more homes and lives. I'm Joni Auden-Land reporting from Wasco County, Oregon.
State Representative Mark Owens represents District House 60, the most fire-exposed legislative district in Oregon. Owens, a Republican, has built a reputation as a thoughtful voice on wildfire policy as the co-chair of the House Committee on Agriculture, Land Use, Natural Resources, and Water. More acres are burning in Oregon every year. The Oregon Journalism Project asked Owens to speak about opposition to mitigation around measures like preemptive burnings. Owens said he believes mitigation and fire suppression should be a core function of state government, and mitigation is an opportunity to keep these fires smaller. When asked how he thinks Oregon's two gubernatorial candidates, Governor Tina Kotek and State Senator Christine Drazen, are doing on this issue, Owens said it shouldn't be a partisan issue. He feels there are few people at the executive or legislative levels who have figured out how to be proactive around the issue of fire management, mitigation, and suppression. This story comes to us through a news partnership with Oregon Journalism Project. Online at OregonJournalismProject.org.
You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN. I'm Katie Frankowitz. Loggers working in the Jones Creek area off Highway 6 in Tillamook County discovered a crashed vehicle and inside it the remains of possibly two people last week. Investigators say the vehicle is associated with a missing persons case reported out of Beaverton nearly a year ago. Investigators say the skeletal remains inside may be those of the two adults reported missing in connection with the vehicle. However, the identities of the remains have not been officially confirmed. It appears the vehicle drove off the road and careened down a steep hillside. There is significant damage to the vehicle. The investigation remains ongoing. Garbage and recycling rates are going up in Astoria. Astoria maintains a service franchise agreement with Recology. On Monday, Astoria City Councilors approved a request by the company to implement a 3% rate increase beginning September 1st. This means roughly a dollar a month more for people with a 32-gallon curbside cart, the most common customers in Astoria. People with 90-gallon carts would see almost a $2 increase. Dan Blue is the Government and Community Relations Manager with Recology. He told city councilors that the company is seeing increasing disposal costs at a key landfill and rising costs everywhere.
Disposal costs are up, labor costs are up, insurance costs are up, a lot of volatility in the fuel industry, so this is kind of where we land at this point.
Recology representatives also announced that the company plans to bring a hard-to-recycle item depot to Astoria. This would be a place where people can bring plastic items like plastic film, caps and lids, and other plastic items that can't be included with regular recycling. I'm Katie Frankowitz reporting.
Local and regional news is brought to you by our news partners and by the KMUN News Team. For more local and regional news, go to kmun.org/news. You're listening to KMUN.